is my new documentary film about a group of entrepreneurs and their teams working on artificial intelligence, drones, 3D printing, clean tech, and biotech in Switzerland. I made this podcast to introduce the founders of the startups in the film. So these interviews took place behind the scenes and they won't be in the documentary. In this episode, I'm speaking with Fabio Oldenburg, co-founder of Gaia Membranes.
I'm Fabio Oldenburg. I'm the CTO of Gaia Membranes. And I founded this company together with my colleague and friend, Elian, to make energy storage and energy conversion more efficient. So our membranes were initially developed for vanadium flow batteries, where we overcome the current trade-off of conventional membranes. But the concept of our membranes can be used for other technologies as well, such as electrolyzers, other flow batteries, and even water purification.
What was your journey like from academia into entrepreneurship?
So within my PhD, I was developing the membrane technology for vanadium flow batteries. And from early days on, I was already working with potential customers to get feedback on the developments. And as soon as they were actually giving me quite positive feedback and asking for this material to be commercially available at some point, the idea was essentially born. And the next step was I was certain from the start that I can never do it alone. So I was basically looking for a team member. So I remember it was a New Year's Eve now, 2 years ago. I was actually pitching the idea to my friend Elian and suggesting to maybe found a company and try to commercialize this membrane. And he was, first of all, interested, but a bit hesitant. And he said, okay, I will definitely need some time to do some due diligence, look into the risks, into the idea. So he was much more structured in this sense. And he took the time. We made some plans, had some rough calculations, how it could look like, estimated the cost structure of the material, evaluated the potential, we say, unique selling proposition of the membrane. And in the end, we decided, oh, that could actually work. It's worth trying. And then we basically started and went deeper and deeper into the project. So we raised our first, let's say, smaller funds to get another lab technician into the team and try to basically produce some larger samples. And with these larger samples, we could eventually approach more potential customers and get more feedback. And so it really was an organic, growth emerging project. So from starting really small by just having some little feedback of a known customer, of someone we worked with in the past, to let's really try to produce something and put a price tag on it, sell it to someone and see what feedback we get from it, and then basically learn from that and improve.
What has changed since you started? For instance, if you compare the first week of the startup to today?
That's a really good question. I remember the first week as an extremely exciting week. So I was really entering this new world of founding a company, and everything was so exciting. And we looked into different sites. So as I was coming from the lab and from technical work, now I was getting in touch with the financial planning, with how to structure a company, a team, how to structure a business, essentially, right? So that was really exciting. And now I learned a lot on the way, on this journey, and I think I'm now looking a lot more grounded and a lot more realistic on the different challenges. So what I think for me has changed most drastically is how I evaluate risk. So in the beginning, I was very excited, and I was basically thinking, okay, we can do everything. We can definitely build a whole manufacturing site here in Switzerland. We can develop this technology for all kinds of battery applications, enter the market, capture the biggest market shares, and really call out a revolution of energy storage. Now, while I think still that we can actually change quite drastically how energy storage works, I'm a bit more realistic around what challenges is wise and makes sense to take from our position, and what challenges is maybe more or better to outsource to industrial partners. So one of the biggest lessons learned was the challenge of a hardware company to really produce something that is a tech, that is a membrane, requires lots of resources. We are not only speaking about lab infrastructure, about money, we also speak about industrial experience, right? So we moved away from the initial thought to make everything ourselves to basically build a strong network of industrial partners within Switzerland, but also outside of Switzerland, to get a chance to really mass manufacture this product and scale it up.
How important was it for you to start in Switzerland?
I think it was quite important, actually. I was comparing it a few times to other European countries. And for us, what was critical, actually, is to find support at a very early stage with an idea that is a very risky one. So if we speak about hardware, as I said, you require substantial resources from day one, where you still have the product risk, the market risk, and the production risks. So private investors would never invest at that stage, right? You really need something, some infrastructures that can bridge this, let's say, investment gap between your idea and, let's say, business case that people would invest in. And there, I think we were really lucky to be in Switzerland, but not only in Switzerland, but also here at PSI, so at a Swiss university or institute, because we received at this very early stage, when it was basically just the two of us with an idea, and that felt crazy to a lot of people from the investment side, we already received substantial infrastructure from PSI. We were able to use the labs. We were receiving funds from PSI, from other startup accelerators, VentureKick, InnoBooster. So there's a lot of different of these funds available in Switzerland, also for early stage ideas and for hardware companies. And I think that was critical. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any chance, because we didn't have the pocket money to do that, unfortunately. So, that was really the only way. And as you can see, we are still sitting in the lab of PSI, and we are still needing this lab, exactly, and still using the labs to develop our product.
When do you think will be the point where you have to leave the university setup?
I think two important aspects are present for us that made us really feel we need to grow out of the university environment at some point, and this is very soon. One is that at some point, if you scale up, you really get to the borders what is possible in a research institute, right? Research mostly takes place on small batches. The labs are not equipped to handle liters of chemicals. So from the safety aspect, also from the logistics aspect. So here it really makes sense for us from an efficiency point of view to at some point basically move out, have a technical area, have a lab that is really designed for our needs. And the other thing is, I think, more of a motivation aspect and a mental point of view. That is, for the whole team, of course, everyone is working towards that moment that we can basically become independent of the university and also distinguish ourselves from a university project, from a research project. So I feel speaking about this process that we move out and basically stand on our own feet motivates everyone, including myself. So from this point of view, it's also important for us soon to basically move out and build our own infrastructure.
Which isn't easy, I imagine.
Absolutely. I mean, here, basically, our cost structure is very low at the moment. As soon as we move out, we need to pay our own bills. We need to pay for the lab infrastructure. And at that moment, our runway becomes smaller and smaller. So that's, of course, really a challenge to find the right time. Ideally, you already have some. You are really pre-commercial, so you are really close to selling. You need to have a solid plan how to produce, how to roll out the product, how to enter the market. I think before you could move out and invest your own time and funds into basically being active outside of the university.
How well did your education prepare you for founding your own startup?
To be honest, if you just do the chemistry career in university, you study chemistry, you do a PhD, you're not really exposed so much into the world of business, of creating a startup company, right? So a lot of the things that I learned by heart, by really trying and within the journey of founding the company. Here again, I was though lucky to be at linked to ETH and to PSI as well, because they really foster a lot of startup education programs. So they have courses to really train you within one semester the basics of entrepreneurship. I took courses in technology entrepreneurship. We got in touch with several coaches that try to basically make us ready for this real business world. And I was lucky to have Elian on board, who already brought in quite some expertise from industry and from the business side. But still, I mean, it's a lot of lessons learned, definitely. An example is, I think, definitely how you evaluate risks and how you prioritize activities in the focus of what really matters. So actually, a lot of time that you spend during the process of founding a company, you do not really spend on the highest priority stuff, right? So so when we were testing our routes to mass manufacture and to scale up the process ourselves, we might have not used the time for other things such as speaking to customers, learning applications for our product, doing basically business development. Now we learned that it's much easier to outsource the production, so it might have been just like more wise to, from the start, structure the whole business case a bit differently to really focus on the stuff that is critical for you to be successful in the end.
Which advice would you give students or scientists who want to found their own startup?
I think, first of all, I would definitely say great. It's an amazing journey. I would recommend to do it. There is not really things that you can lose. Even if it fails, you learn a lot. So I would probably, first of all, try to understand what makes them motivated around the idea and see if that is something that can be sustainable along the journey. And then I would probably sit down and look into the standard aspects of their business idea. What is their unique selling proposition? What is their competitive advantage, essentially? Is it sustainable? Is there a market, actually? Does someone needs the idea, the product that they want to sell? And is there a way to produce this product and to basically deliver the market? And from this, I would probably try to understand the risk structure of the business and then advise people, okay, look, maybe first work on those aspects because those are definitely the risky ones. Try to minimize the risks, try to find a solution for that, and then really pursue the idea. One very important point I would recommend everyone is find a partner, find a team, basically from day one. Because if you get someone to challenge your own ideas, that is so much more valuable than if you basically have to tackle all problems in your own head, right?
What would you say is a good approach to find a co-founder?
Yeah. I mean, I was, first of all, trying to understand what parts I am missing in the business aspects. And I was, I mean, definitely seeing, okay, I haven't been exposed to industry, so I'm definitely missing the industry, the business aspect. So I was thinking, okay, do I actually know someone who would bring these expertise into the team? And I was looking around, let's say, my friends, first of all, because I know that I am able to cope with them. And I was speaking to different people there, and Elian was definitely on the top list, as I know he was like, he's super smart, he speaks perfectly English, he was living in a lot of different countries, so he's able to adapt to different situations. He brought a lot of expertise that I'm missing, so it was a very nice complementary fit. And I just spoke to him and pitched the idea, basically how I would pitch to an investor, and try to make him excited. And in the end, it worked out. And yeah, that was it.
How did you go about learning skills to lead other people and employees?
Leadership. I think I took some courses in leadership as well. And there is some courses available at the universities. There are seminars that you can book with coaches, etc. A lot of that is, I really don't found so helpful in the end. I think the most important thing is that you have a feeling for other people, that you're empathic, and that you can actually make people excited about the idea. So I think that was the most important part. So basically a lot of the employees that we have right now that are really skilled, we basically also pitch the idea, try to make them excited about to join our project and to accept other risks, such as that the future is unknown if you compare it to an industry job, right? But it worked out, and now we have a very cool set of team members, very complementary people also, some who have been just coming out of education, some who have some expertise already, and that really is super valuable to the business and to the company.
As an entrepreneur, do you have role models that you look up to?
That's a really hard question. I think a lot of time you're more looking to people who went through success stories and who are very famous and built fantastic multinational companies, and you think, wow, that I need to learn everything from them, and they wrote books. Of course, we also read the books. But I think in the end, people forget about the aspect of luck in everyone's journey and in everyone's business. So I think I would rather choose someone who actually failed a couple of companies and try to understand how he now looks on the idea and what he would make different, rather than having someone who just created a success story from the start. But unfortunately, there is not a famous one a name that I can give you, because those people are typically not so famous. But of course, we have a couple of them also within our coaches, within our advisors that we speak to on a regular basis and that give us very valuable advice.
What are maybe differences between the perception of being an entrepreneur and the reality?
I need to think about that. So there is a lot of things that are true for our projects that you would say that is somehow cliche. So we are a small team, we have very flat hierarchies, we have a lot of exchange between the team members. We have also these typical ups and downs where sometimes everything is working out and you are like receiving great great feedback from customers, you get a nice order, and sometimes you really struggle with some challenges. So that is definitely true. I think other aspects, it is, especially in hardware, I think much harder than you would think in the start. So as I started, I was under the impression, you do a startup, of course, it will be intense, it will be challenging, but there is really nothing to lose. But eventually you start really growing together with the project. So you feel that also your, how you enter the day and how you feel becomes more and more depending on how the company feels as well. So we had periods where things were just very challenging, things didn't really work out with the process, etc. And I always felt that also in the team. So people were a bit more precious and sometimes a bit more rough and a bit down. So you really you really feel this roller coaster of the startup also in your personal life, right? It takes over your life. And I think you really need to have, and that is one aspect that I would also, going back to the other point, really recommend to everyone else. You really need to have a very solid personal basis that gives you that gives you sense and that you are a happy person, also independent of the project. For me, that was a good set of friends that I can basically also speak about other things, a very nice partner that I'm living with. It was very important also times, holidays outside of the project. It was a lot of sports. It was enough sleep. So all these ingredients, good food, that actually matter in the end more than you think. Yeah.
Where do you see yourself in maybe 5 years?
Oh, 5 years feels quite far away in the world of a startup. I would actually love to still be in touch to the startup and to what we're doing today, which is developing membranes, developing solutions for the energy infrastructure. So if we grow further, if the team is growing, but I could still stay in touch with this technology as a CTO, that would be an ideal outcome.
How much of a motivation is it for you to focus on sustainability in what you're doing?
Yeah, quite a bit. So even if the project would not exist, I would definitely contribute my time to solving this problem of climate change and of energy storage specifically. I just feel a lot more motivated in working on problems that matter to myself and that I think matter to society as well. And yeah, for me, it was always the right choice to basically go towards where your motivation, your own motivation is guiding you. And that was definitely one of the big topics, energy storage.
What is perhaps a dream that you have for the impact that you can make with your startup?
I think the dream impact would be that we can really say that we helped the problem of energy storage in the context of climate change, so that we can really say it doesn't have to be we disrupted the whole world, but it would be already achieved if we could say, okay, look, our membranes are now used in those batteries, in electrolyzers, in those applications, and we can really contribute to tackling the challenge of making energy storage affordable.
Startup and this podcast is produced by 8th Grade Story Driven Science and by me, Manuel Staggers. Startup is supported by the Gebhard Rüff Stiftung as part of the Scientainment program. Additional support from the Ernst Göhner Stiftung, Kultur Wetzikon, and the Canton of Valais. Visit the film website www.startup-documentary.com for more interviews like this one and for more information about the film, trailers, and showtimes.